All right, thanks, Scott Shannon. Do you hear what he just said? T-minus 21 days until you decide the midterm election. 21 days from now, you decide. We, the American people, decide. Not the media, not the fake news pundits. Nobody but you. You have all the power to get out there. You've got 3 weeks to get engaged, to get involved, and to understand the issues and the importance of what is at stake. And when you turn on the TV, as you will likely do 3 weeks from now, you know, after 6 p.m. Eastern time, and find out, you know, as the results of these particular House races are coming in, these important Senate races, red state Democrats races are coming in, you're either going to get news you like, news you don't like, or maybe a mixed bag. I could see a mixed bag. I can see any scenario that is being discussed. The one thing I can tell you, which I told you in 2016, is anybody that tells you they know doesn't. You know, these polls now have changed and shifted dramatically based on the mobs we've been watching, the mini riots we've seen all over the place, and the rhetoric of Hillary and Eric Holder and the treatment of Pam Bondi and Secretary Nielsen and Sarah Sanders and Ted Cruz and his wife Heidi and Mitch McConnell and, you know, kick them and we can't be civil with them and all the other comments in between. Maxine Waters, get a crowd. You see them, you get a crowd. You get a crowd and then you follow them into grocery stores, department stores, gas stations. You tell them, we don't want you here anywhere anymore. Not making up any of this. Let's play it so you hear it.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Please don't just come here today and then go home. Go to the Hill today. Get up and please get up in the face of some Congress people.
But Michelle Wink says that, you know, when they go low, we go high.
No.
When they go low, we kick them. That's what this new Democratic Party is about.
That's what this new Democratic Party is about. Well, if that's the part, give me an example. Everybody, here's a quick Hannity quiz. What one positive thing is any Democrat, either running for the Senate or the House where you live, what are they running on that they want to do to make this world, this country, a better, more secure, more prosperous home for us, our kids, our grandkids, to create more jobs and more opportunities? What are they offering? What are they offering to secure the borders, if anything? What we're watching now is one of the biggest lie, disinformation, propaganda campaigns. This is now the Democratic Party. Hillary Clinton can't beat Bernie Sanders fair and square. She's got to cheat. They got to stack the deck. And Bernie, just being a dummy, just took it. And when the whole thing was rigged against him from the get-go.
This is a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to
Calm down.
I literally am going to die. I need an ambulance.
Okay, send the ambulance as soon as possible. Democrats, this is what we're now witnessing, and this is not unprecedented. I've been in this business radio 30 years. I've been in TV. I've just started my 23rd year. The playbook is the exact same. Every 2-4 years, Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynist, xenophobic, Islamophobic, homophobic. They want dirty air, water. They want to kill your children. And some lookalike of your congressman or woman is going to throw your grandmother over the cliff. Now they've even taken it a step further than that. You have the Center for American Progress, which is John Podesta's old group. He created this thing and another think tank I've never heard of, the Third Way. They're advising Democrats what they should do and not do in the lead up to the election, what they should say and what they should not say. Spend as little time as possible talking about immigration. Don't tell the people the truth about immigration. Sanctuary attacks pack a punch, it says in a memorandum. Oh, okay. New York Times got a copy of this thing. Democrats, the strategists preparing the memo, are advising all Democrats that they could neutralize the attacks if they responded, but they should spend as little time as possible talking about immigration itself. Instead, pivot to more fruitful issues like, by the way, healthcare and taxation. Healthcare means keep Obamacare. I don't know how that's fruitful for them. You know, keep your doctor, keep your plan, and pay less. That hasn't worked out very well. People, millions lost their doctors, their plans, and they're paying two, three, four times what they were once paying. And the only thing they want on taxation is, oh, they want, you know, they use the rhetoric, you know, redistribution, tax cuts for the rich. The reality is, that's never been true when half the country only pays 3% of the tax bill. The latest numbers came out as in Bloomberg yesterday. Top 3% of Americans pay the majority of taxes in this country. Top 3%. Top 1% pay 40%. The top 50% of all taxpayers pay 97% of the total individual income taxes. Let me say it another way. The bottom 50% of taxpayers only pay 3% of the tax bill. That's it. You know, which small percentile of taxpayers, you know, also paid 3% or more? Well, you know, if you look at the top 1,400 taxpayers, 1,400 people in a country of 300 plus million people, that group alone pays a massive share of 1,400 people pay nearly 4% of the taxes. Just 1,400 people. 2001, bottom 50% paid nearly 5%. Now it's down to 3%. That's it. You have this progressive tax system that they want, but it's still not enough. They want their crumbs back. They're not going to tell you. Maxine Waters, see Jason if you can find the cut. Maxine Waters said, they keep telling me not to say it. They don't want me to say it.
Compare what you're doing with what we have in Washington, D.C., in the highest office of the land. I wake up in the middle of the night, and all I can think about is I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. We should not think about how somebody else is going to deal with. This is all of our fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every day I say, I'm in this fight.
Yeah.
I'm in this fight, and I'm not going to move. And as you know, there's a difference and how some of our leadership talk about how we should handle all of this. They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment anymore. And when they say that, I say impeachment, 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 impeachment,
impeachment. Impeachment, they say, Maxine, don't say it. In other words, yeah, we agree, but we're not telling people what we want to do. We just want to keep it quiet what we're going to do. Well, that's what the Center for American Progress is recommending they do on immigration. It's very difficult to win on immigration with vulnerable votes in states that Trump carried in 2016. The strategy memo goes on arguing even the most draconian of Republican policies like family separation, threats to deport Dreamers, undocumented immigrants, et cetera, fail to sway most voters, emphasis added. Let me interpret this for you. Maxine, be quiet. Don't tell the people the truth of what we're really going to do. Don't talk about immigration. Don't tell them we want to eliminate ICE. Stop saying it. Don't tell them you want open borders. Keep lying to them. You know, we've got Claire McCaskill. We've got an unbelievable tape that we're going to play at the top of the next hour with Project Veritas. Remember last week we had, you know, former governor of Tennessee, Bredesen, and the people in his office basically saying, we're only saying publicly we're voting for Kavanaugh. He'd never do it. We just need to get these Republican voters. We need to bamboozle them. We need to manipulate them. We need to propagandize them and lie to them, tell them whatever they want to hear. But when he gets in office, he's going to do the right thing. And the tape that we revealed last night on Hannity, we'll have more of this tonight at 9. It's better if you see it. We're going to play it the next hour. But McCaskill on tape, of course she's going to vote for gun bans. You know, her campaign staff, yeah, of course she wants a semi-automatic rifle ban. You know, she's quiet on gun views because she has a bunch of Republican voters. But if this tape reveals she secretly supports gun control groups. Her staff says, we got to wait till after election to bring up Trump impeachment. You know, to voters, listen, if they don't understand why we won't say it, they need to get over it. You know, people just can't know that McCaskill and Obama, they have the same view on everything. It's all in this tape. People just can't know that they actually heard a campaign guy saying in McCaskill's office. Well, all this is a lie campaign. You cannot, anybody in this program, you can't list what they stand for. Nobody in the media ever told you what 8 years of Obama did to this country. Maybe that's why I sound like a broken record. 13 million more Americans on food stamps after 8 years. You kidding me? You want to go back to that? 8 million more in poverty? The worst recovery since the 40s, lowest participation rate since the 70s, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. You know, we had the only president ever in history not to reach 3% GDP growth in a year. We just had 4.2% the last quarter under Trump. The only president that, you know, said $9 trillion in debt's irresponsible and unpatriotic. Well, he accumulated more debt than all 43 presidents before him combined. All of this is on the ballot. And I haven't even mentioned the fact the president defeated 80% of ISIS, that the president stopped little rocket man from firing his rockets every other day over Japan and threatening the entire region with a nuclear war. Or forget the fact that he's kept his promise on trade deals, on pipelines, on deregulation. Anwar is open. The coal industry has been saved. He spent $3.5 billion on the wall he promised, is fighting for the other $25 million, and they gave us the biggest tax cut in American history, and two originalist justices. No other president ran on the idea that he'd keep originalists on the Supreme Court, and he got it done. Let me just say it more simply. If you don't get your ass out to vote, then it's half a vote for Pelosi in the House and half a vote for Schumer if you got a senator up in your state. If you vote for a Democrat, you might as well just vote for Pelosi because that's what you're getting. With no agenda except investigate, take the crumbs back, keep Obamacare, keep open borders, eliminate ICE. Same with the Senate. You vote for Heidi Heitkamp, John Tester, Joe Donnelly, Kristen Sinema. You vote against Dean Heller. Dean Heller is up now 7, thank goodness, in Nevada. You vote for Claire McCaskill, you vote for Nelson, you're basically voting for Schumer. Is that what you want? I don't know what else to say. They are saying it outwardly. No, they're telling me not to tell you the truth. They're telling me to just shush. And then you have the memo. Don't talk about immigration or the borders. Just lie. What is this party? Does this party not like the fact that 4 million jobs have been created? Manufacturing jobs, Obama said, were not coming back, 400,000 of them created. Do you not want the explosion of high-paying career energy jobs that will happen now that Anwar, once you get up and running with Anwar, the pipeline's being built, the coal industry saved, natural gas production now moving forward, and we have the Saudis, you know, threatening retribution if we blame them for the death of journalist Khashoggi? I honestly don't know what to make. I'm reading everything that even the New York Times is writing. I would urge you, no matter what you hear on Khashoggi, give this man the benefit of the doubt. I don't like what the New York Times has written about him. I want to know that this is all true, what the things that I'm reading. I don't even want to repeat it. Everybody gets everything so wrong so often. And I'm a little sick and tired of that. But that's the other thing. The media, they're now beginning to panic. I'm going to go over all of these polls that we have here. You know, one major massive indicator, that tape in by Project Veritas now has Marsha Blackburn up since Bredesen has been exposed as a phony. She's now up 14. Claire McCaskill, now we're going to play this at the top of the next hour, this Project Veritas tape of her. Watch her poll numbers tumble. You know, the president is helping Dean Heller out in Nevada. And guess what? Now he's up by 7. You look at the case of Sinema in Arizona. Her case, literally, now she's inviting witches and, you know, the terrorist attorneys of the blind sheikh to speak at Arizona State and calling the people of Arizona crazy and calling her state the meth capital of the world. I mean, does she think now she has a great shot against a real war hero, Martha McSally? I hope not in Arizona. And I'd say John Tester needs to go in Montana, as Heidi Heitkamp is a reliable liberal vote, as Joe Donnelly is a reliable liberal vote, as Bill Nelson in Florida has been out of touch with the people of Florida forever, while Rick Scott gets his hands dirty. Remember, a vote for any Democrat in the House is like voting for Pelosi. Vote for any Democratic senator, you might as well vote for Schumer. Quick break, right back.
I think there's no question that we've got to critically re-examine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered and the work it is doing. And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
I think we need to abolish ICE. That seems really clear.
In terms of the bonus that corporate America received versus the crumbs that they are giving to workers to kind of put the schmooze on is so pathetic.
Please don't just come here today and then go home. Go to the Hill today. Get up and please get up in the face of some Congress people.
Eliminating ICE, for instance, and President Trump.
Yes. They have strayed so far from the interests of the American people and the interests of humanity. We need to abolish it.
When the American people learn that some of them are not getting anything, some of them getting raises, and the rest are getting crumbs, and big corporations and wealthy individuals are getting nice fat pieces of pie, they're going to be outraged. They are already.
ICE isn't doing what it was created to do. It's being used as his own personal police force, and in those actions, it's actually making us less safe.
When this country understands and feels what has been done with the tax scam and what that's going to do for our deficit in this country, it's going to be reversed.
And I think you should reimagine ICE under a new agency with a very different mission and take those two missions out. And so we believe that we should protect families that need our help, and that is not what ICE is doing today, and that's why I believe you should get rid of it.
What we have proposed is an increase in the corporate tax rate.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
We need to rebuild our immigration system from top to bottom, starting by replacing ICE with something that reflects our morality and values.
Medicare for All is actually much cheaper than the current system that we pay right now.
They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment anymore. And when they say that, I say impeachment, 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 impeachment.
If it turns out that he does become Justice Kavanaugh and your chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, would you investigate him for possible impeachment?
If he is on the Supreme Court and the Senate hasn't investigated, then the House will have to.
You'll investigate.
We would have to investigate.
All right, 24 till the top of the hour. Oh, that is the agenda. Nonstop investigation, impeachment, but don't tell anybody. Maxine, shush, Tati keeps saying don't say it, but I'm going to say it. Don't talk about immigration. Don't even mention you want the crumbs back. Don't mention you want to eliminate ICE. But we have all the tape. Just like Bredesen, you know, the Project Veritas cameras are inside there. And they're like, oh, trust us. He's not voting for Kavanaugh. He's just saying that to get rural voters. He only wants to be there one term. And when he's there, he's just going to do what's right. He'd never vote that way. I don't think the people of Tennessee appreciate the fact that Bredesen is a total fake, phony, and a fraud. Or that Claire McCaskill is as well, as we exposed last night with Project Veritas. There's another part we have that will air tonight on TV. James O'Keefe is going to join us. I mean, when they're literally saying, just people can't know. But, of course, Claire and Obama, they have the same views on everything. What agenda are they proposing that you like? What What are they offering you, the Democratic Party, that you find attractive? Because we have news out today that we can add to the 400,000 new manufacturing jobs that weren't coming back, the 4+ million new jobs that have been created in less than 2 years, the 8 million out of food stamps and poverty, the best recovery we've seen, best GDP growth in such a long time. Well, here's a new one today. Consumer confidence at an all-time high. Number of job openings in the U.S. rose slightly. Oh, and a record low unemployment, 3.7%. Record low. Oh, and did I mention record low unemployment in 14 states? Did I mention since Trump's been elected, record low unemployment for Hispanic Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, vets, women in the workplace, youth unemployment? Did I mention any of that? Because the media is not mentioning it. They just want to hate Trump every day. Did I mention that, the Market Watch printed today that the number of job openings in the U.S. rose to a record 7.14 million in August, reflecting strong growth in the economy and the best labor market in decades. That would be CBS's Market Watch, not Hannity's Market Watch. Job openings topping 7 million for the first time ever in July. And figures show they increased again in August. We have two records in a row of U.S. job openings. You know what job openings mean? That means that you might be able to finally change jobs and get on the career path you've been dreaming about with the 8 years of Democratic failure. You know what that means? That maybe you change jobs and get paid that much more per hour or year that just puts you in a whole new economic category for yourself, your family, your lifestyle, the house you can live in, the car you can buy, the dinners you might be able to afford to go to, the trips to Disney that you want to take your kids on, you've been dreaming about. That's what that means. Or the new job maybe means another job, just part-time, that you can bring in a little extra cash for the family because you need it. You know, jobs, this is 7+ million jobs waiting to be filled. Market Watch goes on, meanwhile, easily exceeding the number of people officially classified as unemployed. We have 1 million more jobs available than we have people on unemployment in this country. Job openings topped the number of unemployed for the first time in March of this year, based on government records going back to 2000. That gap has now widened to a record 900,000. We have 900,000 more jobs than we have people on unemployment. Some 5.78 million people were hired last month. 5.71 million people lost or left their jobs, including 3.6 million who quit. The share of people who left jobs on their own, known as the quit rate, was unchanged at a 17-year high. You know why it's high? Because people are moving on to better jobs that pay more, that offer better opportunity, better benefits, better career path, better career trajectory. Now it's a 17-year high, 2.7 among private sector employees, up from 1.5% at the end of the Great Recession, 2009, the end of the Great Recession. You know, so bad, Lindsey Graham said this morning, one of the angry Democratic mobs, and I'll tell you right now, if we don't start cleaning the halls of Congress of people, protesters, you're just going to have to do it. Because one of these politicians is going to end up getting hurt, or worse, as these confrontations, and in some cases, paid mobs, rent-a-mob. You know, people that get paid to go out there and just confront these senators, these congressmen, the way they do. You know, anyway, that some angry Democratic mob, quote, spit on him while they were protesting Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation 2 weeks ago. I don't get it. Spitting on someone is an assault. You spit on somebody, let alone a U.S. senator, you deserve to be arrested. Why is it not happening? Now, look, I will tell anybody, and I train mixed martial arts 5 days a week. And I take my advice. I give it to my kids all the time. Walk away. That's right. You know, you only go, one of the things I've learned more than anything, and I've been training hard. I do it an hour and a half a day now, 5 days a week. I'm not a black belt yet, but I'm on my way. I'm a brown second degree. It's an eclectic blend of Kenpo, Jiu-Jitsu, Krav Maga, and boxing and street fighting. We do firearm, blade, stick training. We do it all. You know what I'm going to do if somebody says something horrible to me? I'm going to walk away. They spit on me, I'm going to walk away. If they put their hands on me, I'll warn them as much as I can and try and get away. But you see the environment, you see the tapes. I'm just going to tell you, it's a very dangerous, somebody's going to get hurt. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't care what your politics are. Keep your hands to yourself. That's my advice. So now here is an interesting Washington Post ABC News poll. Republicans now ahead in the key battleground House districts. Now, this is the most important part of the poll. If you look at it, they quote ABC News's Rick Klein took a look at the current generic ballot polling, which favors the Democrats. But you know what? It always favors the Democrats, although we have other polls that have shown that that gap has narrowed significantly. But what he's pointing out is the core concerns now with 3 weeks to go, 3 weeks from tonight, you're going to get the results, is that Democrats worry a whole lot that midterm enthusiasm is going to wind up wasted in places they don't need it. In other words, what they're really finding is, let me translate that. Oh, they have the generic ballot wrapped up in New York, Chicago, New Jersey, Trenton, you know, San Francisco, everywhere in between. They have it wrapped up in Los Angeles, probably, but not in red state America. And what this analysis shows is inside the districts that will result in the balance of power in the House of Representatives, put it another way, that will decide if Nancy Pelosi once again gets the gavel and becomes Speaker, it is a dead heat. 46-47, Democrats versus Republicans. Very similar dynamic driven by Democratic strength in cities, their weaknesses in rural areas, that is driving House and Senate forecasts in opposite directions. In other words, the Senate is looking good. Marsha Blackburn, after the tape by Project Veritas, she's doing better. She's up by 14. Heller's up by 7. That's such an important race in Nevada. Kristen Sinema's imploding in Arizona. Latest revelation. Oh, she's inviting... You know, the blind Sheikh's attorney was under federal investigation at the time to speak at Arizona State. And, of course, the people of Arizona are crazy, and it's the meth capital of the world. Might have a little something to do with borders, just saying, Kristen. And inviting witches to this bizarre whatever she had. I mean, I was in the Washington Examiner yesterday. And you're going up against Martha McSally, a true war hero. Good luck with that race at this point. Same thing with, you know, Heidi Heitkamp. The only way these Democrats can win is to lie to you, not talk about what they really want to do. New York Times is now concerned that Democrats could be in for disappointment on November 6th. A column there headlined, "What Could Ruin a Big Blue Wave?" Two prominent New York Times columnists sum up the problem with these words, quote, "Donald Trump seems to have evaded Hispanics' voter wrath." What does that mean anyway? You mean the fact that we have the lowest level of unemployment for Hispanic Americans and African Americans and women in the workforce? Look, I get that some people don't like Donald Trump's style. But you can't argue with the results, and you can't argue with the fact that he made promises and he's kept them. It's kind of refreshing. Anyway, it goes on to point out Hispanic voters, despite all of Trump's border cruelties. Well, he's always talked about some people that commit crimes, and I've been down to the border more than anybody at the New York Times, and I've seen it myself. Maybe they should go to the drug warehouses and should ride horseback, all-terrain vehicles and helicopters and boats like I have, and stand by the border walls and you know, look at the tunnels that have been built and look at the drug trafficking and the human trafficking that has occurred, and maybe sit through a security briefing in the Rio Grande and the Texas border, like I did with Rick Perry, to see that in a seven-year period, 642,000 crimes committed against Texans alone. By the way, it's another important race. Ted Cruz, with all the hype about Beto and O'Rourke, he's up by 8 points, nine and 8 points, respectively, in the last two polls out of Texas. But I have an announcement. I'm going to be going down to, I'm going to do a town hall down in Houston this weekend. Actually, I have a couple events down there. Hopefully, maybe I'll get to see some of you. Wonder if big time AJ is going to come. Love to see him. You know, but look, it's all going to come down to you. We, the American people. It's now a matter of what do you want for your family? One of the things we'll discuss in the next half hour, Democrats claim that they have this monopoly on health care. They don't. Obamacare has been a disaster, and we're going to compare it to direct access to doctors. Like I've been bringing to people's attention for years with my buddy Josh Umber. We have James O'Keefe when we get back. Wait till you hear what the lies, the false representations, not only of Governor Bredesen in Tennessee, now he's got Claire McCaskill on tape. And Joe Concha will talk about how fraudulent invested the media is in defeating Trump. By the way, I see the rapper T.I. take a name at Trump and Kanye West in a music video featuring Melania as a stripper. Welcome to your Democratic Party. By the way, the only thing we learned in the DNA test of Elizabeth Warren is she's 96% European. Cherokee Nation was furious, by the way. You know, and people just mocking her. But anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. Even an MSNBC reporter said, I might be just as Native American as she is. One in 1,024? And yet you change your status to minority at one school, and Harvard's promoting her as the first Native American woman ever to teach professor at Harvard. Unbelievable.
But if we have the kind of year I think we might have, I think we could actually be in a position that we could get votes on this stuff on the floor. And we get 60. McConnell knows it. He just doesn't want to put it on the floor because then it goes to the House and then it's awkward because all those House members are total NRA folks.
So you would be on board with bump the bump stocks?
Of course, of course.
Bump stocks.
Oh, I've voted.
High capacity max.
I've voted for most of those things before.
For a ban?
Oh, yeah.
But she doesn't, like, openly go out and support groups like Moms Demand Action or just, like, other groups that are, like, related to that, because that could hurt, like, people, her ability to get elected.
It's like, I'm telling you, there's something going on, like, because I got the same argument from this guy. She doesn't support a ban on semi-automatic firearms. And I'm like, I'm right,
yeah,
right?
She does. Like, you heard her say that, like, in your conversation with her.
Right.
Like, 2 months ago, right?
Yeah. I can tell them, because she does support a semi-automatic firearm ban. Because I want to say something I shouldn't say.
I think semi-automatic rifle ban.
Okay.
Is what, more so what she would support.
Wish she would talk a little bit more about guns, dude.
Yeah.
Because I asked her while she was here, and she told me she supports an AR ban,
mm-hmm.
and bump stock ban, and a high capacity magazine ban. But I don't ever hear her say it.
Because she has a bunch of Republican voters.
Yeah. We don't want them to.
They're not going to look into her. Like,
right.
They're just not.
Nick Starost explained to our journalist how Senator McCaskill needs to distance herself from President Obama to legitimize her appeal to moderate voters.
Yeah, because of how, like, because, like, he's a very liberal candidate, and, like, kind of Claire distancing herself from the party is going to help her win more votes than it will. Saying, like, oh, here's Obama, the former president of the United States, to now speak on my behalf. Which is unfortunate, because I love Obama to pieces. I love to see him come here.
And they essentially have the same views on everything.
Yeah.
You know,
people just can't know that.
So, my mom is just attached to this idea that we're going to impeach Trump before the election, and that's just not going
to
happen.
No, I think you're right. I think we have to not let people know that that's the plan. Until,
yeah.
I mean,
the Republican Party's going to be in an uproar about it.
Right.
And if we're not the party in power when it happens, then who knows what's going to happen to democracy.
This is Glenn Winfrey, another McCaskill campaign staffer. The way he details a plan for impeachment of President Trump is revealing.
So here's their real question.
Yeah.
Claire holds signs off on impeachment to get the moderates. What do we tell the moderates after we drop the impeachment hammer afterwards?
Get over it.
It was a national security question. That information was confidential, and she did her duty by not revealing the information until afterwards.
And also get over it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Get over it. That president sucked. Let's move on.
We discovered that McCaskill is receiving money from Democratic U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We get money from Chuck Schumer a lot, too.
Outwardly?
I think it's his PAC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Another one of those things where we get the money, but, you know, keeping on the deal.
Yeah. I truly don't understand how fundraising works.
Mm. Right.
I just take the money.
But what I'm saying is, if they ask, unless they specifically ask, is she voting for the wall, we should just let them think what they need to think.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, if they think she's voting for the wall and they don't ask, then let them think that.
Right.
If they don't ask, let them think that. That's what the rule is now for the Democratic Party. Even the Center for American Progress sending out, don't talk about immigration. Maxine Waters admitting that she's being told, don't talk about impeachment. Just shush up about it. We know. We're going to do it, but we're not going to tell people the truth before an election. That's Claire McCaskill and people on her staff. People just can't know that she wants a semi-automatic rifle ban and that of course she would vote yes on gun bans. Of course she supports the semi-automatic rifle ban. You know, she's quiet on guns because she has a bunch of Republican voters, but secretly she supports a gun control group. You know, and her staff is saying, well, we'll wait till after the election to bring up Trump impeachment to voters. Get over it. We can't do it now. We got to lie now with, you know, 3 weeks, 21 days till Election Day. Why would we ever tell people the truth? People just can't know McCaskill and Obama essentially have the same views on everything. Wow. Now, the people of Missouri, I hope you're paying close attention, but it's bigger than that. Project Veritas has got this undercover video. They got the undercover video the week before about former governor of Tennessee, Bredesen. Marsha Blackburn's now up by 14 points because on that tape, it's the same line. Oh, he'll do the right thing when he gets there. Of course, we don't agree with anything Trump says. No, not at all. Do one. We're saying we'd vote for Kavanaugh. Of course, he wouldn't vote for Kavanaugh. I mean, this is all part of a lie campaign, propaganda campaign, and it's all about power. And it's being exposed at a very high level. I mean, this is really, you know, seeing people how they really are should be so enlightening to the people of Tennessee and Missouri. James O'Keefe is with us. He's the founder of Project Veritas, exposing these senators. I watched this and I'm just like, what a bunch of liars. That's all I think when I see this. Great job.
Yeah, Sean, this is a pattern. You know, we released the Tennessee one. The Tennessee Senate candidate, Bredesen, you know, responded by fumbling and bumbling his words, caught red-handed. These are all the staffers, Sean, inside Claire McCaskill's office. They're all saying essentially the same thing when it comes to Obama, gun control, impeachment. They're all saying that we have to do one thing before the election and do another thing afterwards. Some of that audio was a little hard to hear, but one of the most powerful pieces was when this guy, Glenn Winfrey, one of McCaskill's staffers, explains to our journalist when we asked, so what do we tell the moderates after we do the impeachment? Because we're going to have to mislead them. And the guy goes, we'll tell them, get over it. And that's the mantra. It's this other guy, Nick Starost, field organizer, tells us, he says, quote, people just can't know, unquote, that McCaskill and Obama have the same views. Now, I confronted Nick on the street yesterday with a microphone. I said, Nick, why don't you tell the truth? And, of course, the reason is, and this is true in Missouri, it's true in Tennessee, it's true in North Dakota, some of these red state Democrats, they have to lie to the voters to get elected. It's a necessary condition. So all we're doing is exposing the truth.
You know what, James? I disagree with that point. They don't have to lie. They have to lie if they want to win. And it's a question of whether or not they will put aside any sense of decency, honor, honesty, and embrace any level of truth, and they won't. And that's the point. And you know, I keep saying to everybody on this show and on TV, if you look, the House is in play. The Senate is in play. If you vote for any Democrat in the House, you're voting for Pelosi. If you vote for Claire McCaskill or Bredesen or Heitkamp or Sinema or Donnelly or Bill Nelson, you're voting for Schumer because that's who's going to own them and control them. That's who they're going to vote to be their leader.
Well, you know, and Sean, in some of these states like Missouri in particular, the pro-life Democrats and pro-gun Democrats used to be a thing decades ago. Missouri was the stalwart when it came to those things, but that's a shrinking group of people. And people like Claire McCaskill have to, in order to win, they have to, or they think they have to mislead. And again, this is a Greek chorus of staffers. These staffers are not necessarily villainous. I suppose they're villainous because they're going along with it, but they're just telling the truth. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Bredesen, after we played those tapes on your radio last week, Bredesen talked to local media. This is a Tennessee Senate candidate. He told all the local media stations, well, you know, these young guys were caught, and he kind of misled the staffers. Said, well, they don't work for me, when in fact they did. He apologized. So it's going to be very
Yeah, by the way, that was a lie, too. The first thing he said, well, they're just college kids. No, they weren't. Right. They actually work for them.
And the guy apologized. This guy Brown, who's the Democratic spokesperson for the Bredesen campaign, he actually apologized to the media. Can you believe that, Sean? Apologized for misleading people about our videos. So it's very interesting to see how McCaskill's going to respond. Now, this guy Josh Hawley, the Senate candidate that's running against McCaskill, has responded. He's tweeted out this video. He's jumping all over it. So the question is, the really interesting thing is because
we're going to get him on the program later this week. I mean, we're basically following the work you're doing. You know, one of the questions I'm going to ask, but go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say that McCaskill has, in this video, she says, of course I'd vote on a ban, some type of gun ban. We asked her staffer, what type of ban is that? He said semi-automatic rifles. Now, this is an issue that nobody wants to talk about in Missouri, particularly Claire McCaskill. So we're hoping that she gives a clear, unequivocal answer about what her positions are on the gun issue. And that's going to be very interesting if we can somehow get her to speak on the record publicly about this now that we've caught her red-handed.
Well, I think that you're rocking the world of big state Senate candidates and exposing them for who they really are. Look, I've been saying and explaining for a long time now what the agenda is. They want endless investigations, although they'll stop the investigations that help them. They'll protect their deep state buddies that conspired to first stop Donald Trump from ever winning and then later to destroy him. And then they will have endless investigations, impeachment if they can do it. They want their crumbs back. They're even saying that openly. They're hiding their positions on open borders and eliminating ICE. They're not talking about really wanting to keep Obamacare under any circumstances. And that's what they want to do and stop the president's agenda that's been working. So these tapes, I think, expose what's going on in every congressional and Senate district, except you don't have the manpower to get every single one, but you've gotten a couple of big people already.
We've gotten requests to do it in everywhere, and we have to be judicious about where we do it and when we pull people out, because I could have gotten more admissions but people are already early voting in some of these states. And this is the bigger issue is, like I said to you last week or a few days ago, this is about don't lie to the people. I asked this guy, Nick Starost, when I saw him on the street yesterday, I said, why do you feel the need to lie? Why is our politics so broken that becomes a condition to you having to win? Just be honest, because voters aren't going to, in Tennessee, this guy just lost. There's a new poll out, New York Times poll, and he's down 14 points after our video. It doesn't help you when people find this stuff out. But some of these senators, Sean, are only going to run for one term, so they say, like Heidi Heitkamp.
Well, same with Bredesen. Yeah, they said,
right.
Well, I mean, that's the point. They'll lie to get the one term. And all right, stay right there. James O'Keefe, ProjectVeritas.com. You can see the videos. We've linked it on Hannity.com. And the big question I'm going to ask him when we get back is there going to be more? When we come back to at the bottom of the half hour, we're going to compare the Obamacare Act versus direct primary care and what is the answer to the big problem of health care. And we're going to look at the media corruption as it relates to they don't even want to talk about Stormy Daniels anymore because Stormy lost and has to pay the court costs and the lawyer legal fees of Donald Trump. Nobody's reporting it. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with James O'Keefe. All right, as we continue, James O'Keefe, video number two in what I hope is going to be a series. First, it was former Governor Bredesen of Tennessee. Now it's Claire McCaskill caught on tape They're acting one way in public and lying to the people in their states and still wanting votes. The big question, Mr. O'Keefe, is you rarely do things one at a time or two at a time. I would expect a series of tapes coming out in the days ahead.
Well, and we actually have two parts to this Missouri.
By the way, you
series,
see it
Sean.
Now. He's being very coy because he's good at what he does. I'm thinking that Hannity's right. But I'm thinking that Sean Hannity figured this out, that there's more tapes.
Well, there's another one on Claire that we have coming out that we're finishing producing, come out today or tomorrow, and it's about where she gets her money and why she's coy about that. And then we've got all these other states. I mean, all the, you know, you name it, you know, Florida, North Dakota, Arizona, more. There's 20 days until an election, so I can't tell you exactly what the stories are because we still have our investigators on the inside, but we've got more tapes coming, and it's the same theme. It's the lie to get elected theme. This is not a left or right issue. You simply should not be doing this. It tends to happen more with red state Democrats because of the way the political dynamics are and what they think they have to do to get elected. So that's the theme of our
last question. Can you say about how many, I assume, are you just focused on the Senate or others?
We're focused on mostly the Senate, at least a few more. And like I said, we're in a dozen right now. And the question is, can we pull the people out and get it out in time?
All right, James O'Keefe, ProjectVeritas.com. This is some amazing work. We're going to show it again on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on Fox News. And if you get the other tape, we'll add that to what you've been generous to share with us. We really appreciate it. Good work.
Thank you, Sean.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. We're going to talk about how corrupt the media in this country is. You know, it used to be Stormy, Stormy, Stormy. Stormy loses in court. Her case is thrown out. She has to pay legal fees for Donald Trump, and you don't hear a word about it. First, we're going to get into the issue of health care. How bad has Obamacare, which Democrats want to keep, how bad has it been, and what is the alternative in terms of a solution? We'll get to all of that.
Republicans want to protect Medicare for our great seniors who have earned it and paid for it. And I will always fight for and always protect patients with pre-existing conditions. You have to do it. You have to do it. Some people think that's not a Republican thing to do. I don't care. And I'll tell you what, all of the Republicans are coming into that position now, all of them. And we'll do it the right way, too. Pre-existing conditions are safe. Okay? Just remember that.
I said this once or twice, but it bears repeating. And you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
If you like your plan and you like your doctor, you won't have to do a thing. You keep your plan. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan. If you've got health insurance, you can keep it. If you like your health care plan, you will keep your plan. If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan.
If you have insurance that you like, then you will be able to keep that insurance. If you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it.
If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep it. If you want to keep the health insurance you got, you can keep it.
If you like the insurance plan you have now, you can keep it.
And if you like your insurance plan, you will keep it.
So if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your plan, keep your plan. If you like your current insurance, you will keep your current insurance. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
If you're happy with what you got, nobody's changing it.
Because they're afraid of me, because I outsmart them at the negotiating table, and because I'm a woman who is going to be a seat at that table. And that, for me, is very important. If Hillary Clinton had won and had sat at the head of that table, it'd be different. But I'm not yielding that. Now, I do believe that none of us is indispensable, but I think I'm the best person for the job, and I won't let the Republican ads, which are just flooding these districts. And I say to the candidates, do whatever you have to do. Just win, baby.
Yeah, say whatever you need to say. Just lie as much as you need to lie and tell everybody, even though they lost their doctors, their plans, and they paid a fortune, in many cases, over 100, 200% more without their doctor, without their protections, without their plan, because it was one big pyramid scheme from the get-go. That's all it was from day one. You like your doctor, you keep your doctor, you keep your plan. No. Now, the one thing that the Democrats are trying to do and talk about is health care, which is somewhat bizarre to me because that has not exactly worked out for anybody. What we have is, you know, the ACA, which is the Obamacare. What you've lost with the ACA is people with pre-existing conditions have been paying more. You have higher premiums than they were paying before. Many lost the doctors that they loved, taxing Americans who chose not to use it, which, by the way, the individual mandate with tax, the president has gotten rid of that. Taxing companies who choose not to elect it, paying for what your neighbor needs. It was one big redistribution scheme. Now, if you deal with direct primary care, direct access to doctors, now we've talked about health savings accounts, and we've also talked about Atlas MD, Dr. Josh Umber, and Dr. Lee S. Gross. This model now has been duplicated around the country. And what happens is there's no pre-existing condition prejudice at all. If you can afford a cell phone, you can pretty much afford a direct access to your doctor, no insurance, no problem. You pay for what you need, $50 a month for an adult, $10 a month per child. They negotiate directly with the pharmaceuticals, so they have 90 to 95% reduction. If you have high blood pressure, if you have a cholesterol problem, you walk out of the doctor's office with the medicine at a greatly reduced rate than you'd ever pay at any drugstore. It's now been implemented and is working in over 500 practices around the country. It was pioneered by my friend, Dr. Josh Umber. He joins us now, Atlas MD, and Dr. Lee S. Gross, president of Doctors for Patient Care. Am I pretty much explaining it right? Is there anything I'm missing? And I would call this concierge care for every American.
The only problem is, Sean, every time you talk about it, our phones won't stop ringing, and we've got regular patients to see.
Well, you have a lot of them too, right?
We have our own panel there, and yeah, we're full time family physicians. But no, you nailed it.
Well, I mean, you have all these patients. Now, the bottom line is, I think most people are like me, and I have friends of mine that are doctors, you know, and friends of mine that will take care of me. Friends of mine that'll take a call at 3 a.m. if I'm not feeling well, which has happened occasionally in my life. And these guys, you know, I pay them and they take my insurance, but they do it as more of a friendship. But this is something every American can have access to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And to explain how you're making it work there and how it works for your team exactly.
I think this is like a lot of things, Silicon Valley style, Netflix, Amazon Prime, people, Airbnb, Uber, they want a better product, faster, cheaper, easier. And that's what Dr. Gross and I have done with our respective clinics, is just decrease the paperwork, the headache, the hassle, the middleman, so that now medicines are a penny a pill. Now you can call, text, email your doctor. Now health care with your own private doctors, cheaper than a cell phone.
All right, so this is now implemented. How many places did you get this finally up and running around the country? I don't think you're explaining it in detail enough here. Explain exactly what this service does and how this can be implemented for every American.
Sure. There's over 1,000 doctors doing the direct care model across the country, and it's a flat membership rate based on age. It's insurance-free for unlimited home visits, work visits, office visits. You get free telemedicine, so you can call, text, email your doctor. We have no copays for anything. Any procedure we can do in the office is free of charge. Stitches, biopsies, joint injections, ultrasounds, heart monitors, lung monitors, and then wholesale medications and labs for up to 95% savings. I mean, this is a grassroots movement, and patients just need to get out there and let their doctors know that this is a better way to get health care, and they support it. And that's why I think we've seen this grow so much in the last several years.
And what's missing is the fact that it can be duplicated. Now, I don't know the exact complications that might exist in, say, a big city like New York City, you know, 9 million people, or Los Angeles or San Francisco. But in small towns and smaller cities, it is working, Dr. Gross. That's the point.
Yeah, it's working everywhere. What I think, you know, people really need to understand is that, you know, this is not a decision between you know, the Affordable Care Act. I mean, we want to go down, they're trying to take us down the path of socialized, total government-controlled health care. You know, at a time where people are able to choose their healthcare decisions based upon their individual DNA, we're going to take a one-size-fits-all approach to healthcare. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Democrats don't want their healthcare chosen by Donald Trump any more than Republicans want their healthcare chosen by, you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, why are we inserting the politicians into healthcare with a government-controlled healthcare system when you can have, you know, a better way through a direct primary care relationship?
But this is the thing. This is the failure of Obamacare. You spend billions and billions more, and you get far inferior care because it never really was about the patient. It really was always about redistribution of wealth. And, you know, I can go over, like I did yesterday, all the top numbers. We already have redistribution of wealth in America. You have the top 3% of taxpayers paying the majority of income. 1% pays almost 40%. The top 50% of wage earners pay 97%. So what they've tried to do is, for example, they forced the young and generally healthy Americans to buy expensive plans that they didn't need and couldn't afford, and then penalize them if they didn't get the plan, when they would have been better off paying for one checkup a year right out of their own pocket, and also getting a catastrophic plan if, God forbid, they had the accident or got cancer or at a young age, which rarely happens, had a heart attack. Right, Dr. Umber?
Yep, this is a one-size-fits-none model. It's too expensive for young, healthy people, and it doesn't provide the service that older adults need in an affordable, timely way. And so we need to streamline the whole system. The problem is that politicians have always tried to insure everything, but now we're to the point of insuring, you know, medicines that cost a penny a pill. I can get a 1,000 hydrochlorothiazide, a blood pressure medicine, for $4.90. So the big box retailers will sell you 90 pills for $10. It's highway robbery. We can do cancer for $6 a month in some cases. The fact is now we just need less insurance. That means health insurances can compete on quality and lower their price. Just like, you know, 15 minutes will save you 15% on car insurance, we need to get back to a competitive model where the patients are in control and care is affordable, and insurance is just for the big stuff, but the rare stuff. And
where are you with Congress, though? In other words, these are solutions. No insurance, no bureaucrats, you know, doctors being able to do what they do. They're the innovators in this. Upfront pricing, lower costs, no government meddling. All right, all of that's true. How do you get Congress? How many people are in Congress that are supporting your model? I know, for example, Rand Paul and I think Lindsey Graham are two people saying, well, block grant the money and then let the states determine how to do it themselves, which would then would, I think, open a path for people like you to expand at an even greater level.
Yeah. Well, all health care is local. I mean, that's the important thing. You know, the health care should be between you and your doctors. And one thing that's clear is the cavalry is not coming from Washington to save us. Now, if we wait for a solution from Washington, it's not coming. We need doctors and patients to get together and fix this problem themselves. And that's exactly what this movement does, is it eliminates any asking for permission from Washington to take care of our patients.
Yeah. Well, look, I hope that these people in Washington hear you, because it is interesting that every American's worried about their health care, rightly so. Every American's been burned by broken promises, you know, and the fact that the Democrats have this perception that somehow they're the great solution to health care after the Obamacare debacle is laughable to me. But unfortunately, with voters 3 weeks out of an election, that's how some of them feel as I read these polls. So anyway, I really appreciate both of you being with us. Dr. Josh Umber, Dr. Lee S. Gross is probably one of the defining issues that make people think that Democrats are actually going to help them. And it's not. We appreciate your time. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side as we continue. All right, as we continue back to our busy phones, Nina is in San Francisco, KSFO. Nina, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. As you can see, I'm in California, and unfortunately, I'm surrounded by a sea of crazy people. I'm just wondering, what are we going to do to take back California? I don't want Gavin Newsom as our governor. I was living in San Francisco when he became mayor of San Francisco, and he just ruined that city.
Listen, you have a great Republican candidate out there, John Cox. He's a great businessman. Yes. His problem is simple math. It's sort of like New York City, although it's happened in New York City. It's even happened in New Jersey. Chris Christie, Christy Todd Whitman, and on other occasions, Tom Kaine is another example where Republicans are elected after Democrats make a mess. I guarantee you that Cox could win now that the sanctuary state of California wants to put up a sign and say free health care for everybody in the world. It's a sign. You basically have a governor saying illegal, legal, doesn't matter. Resident, non-resident, doesn't matter. We're going to give you free health care. Now, if the average Californian is taxed at 13.5% statewide on income, if you're okay with that, good luck to you, because it is unsustainable. It will bankrupt your state. There's my prediction. But if people want to experiment with this, that's, you know, who am I? I'm not there to tell people.
Yes, no, I agree with you. And my husband, he owns his own businesses. We're the same way of thinking, we've got to get out of California, can't afford the state taxes and the payroll taxes.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Look, why do you think there's a mass migration out of New York and New Jersey and Illinois to states like Florida, Texas, and the Carolinas? Why are Californians all going to Texas? You know, what are Democrats almost, they're hoping for that California demographic shift so that the people that ruined California and left might do the same thing to Texas. It's unbelievable, which is what Beto O'Rourke has been all about from the beginning. Anyway, Nina, good luck. I would say John Cox would be a great start, and that would stun the world. I'll tell you that on election night, three weeks from tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. We'll get to a lot more of your calls. And also Joe Concha on just how abusively corrupt the media is in this entire election year, season, as usual.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
You cannot be civil.
Get up in the face of some Congress people.
We go low, we kick them.
They think they want to be with him and it's going to make them give them something, but they are paying such a price.
They will.
Making a deal with the devil, it's scary.
The way we implement change, the way we implement change in America is through elections. We change governments here at home in an orderly and formal way. And in that orderly and formal way and lawful way, we need to overthrow the government of the United States under Donald Trump.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Overthrow the government of the United States. That's what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, when they go low, we kick them. We can't be civil unless we win power back. How can we possibly be civil? And look at what's happening. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. News Roundup Information Overload Hour. Joining us now is Joe Concha of The Hill. Joe has been following media now for the longest period of time. Joe, welcome to the program. Glad to have you back.
That was one hell of a montage that you just played. I mean, you hear this rhetoric and you think to yourself, Sean, is this good for Democrats going into the midterms? And new poll out today, it's very, very telling. In 66 districts that are toss-ups, it's now on the generic ballot a one-point lead for Republicans, 47-46. Ever since the Kavanaugh hearing, a sleeping giant has been woken up, and all of this rhetoric from the Democrats, particularly, Sean, here we are, what now, 18 months after Steve Scalise was nearly killed by a mass shooter at a softball field in Virginia, and that sort of rhetoric is still being used in light of that. I think for the Cory Bookers and the Maxine Waters and the Hillary Clintons and the Eric Holders, this is having a very negative effect. It is painting the party as a mob mentality party, and the polls are showing a drastic shift towards Republicans now 3 weeks out from the midterms.
Well, I'm also looking ABC, Washington Post poll, which you're talking about here, looking at the current generic ballot. I mean, this is pretty amazing. With 21 days to go, this ought to be a concern for every Democrat. But Democrats, you know, had a 53-42 edge in generic ballot for the House. But inside 66 districts, the toss-ups, it really comes down to about 70 districts that's where the balance of power will be tipped, or only leaning towards one party or the other, and that's where it evaporates. That's where it actually matters. That's why I'm listing the names of the specific House races that matter, 10 a night, so that people can tune in and literally see. We've also put up an interactive map on Hannity.com that people can use. And you also see it. Kristen Sinema is imploding out in Arizona. Project Veritas, with the tape that they released to Claire McCaskill, is devastating that she's hiding what she's running on. And same happened to Governor Bredesen in Tennessee. You have Heidi Heitkamp is already down by double digits. Joe Donnelly is in big trouble. We now see Heller, a very important seat in Nevada. He's now up by 7 in the latest poll. The only state I'm really worried about right now is Florida, and Rick Scott just has done an amazing job for the people of Florida.
Well, yeah, and the hurricane, obviously, that was devastating. But the response, and that's two hurricanes now, remember, that have hit there in the last year where Scott has really shown. If you remember, Sean, the 2012 election right here in Jersey, that's where Hurricane Sandy hit. And then President Obama had the advantage of acting like a commander-in-chief and going to the devastation while Mitt Romney was basically left helpless. And they say that hurricane may have tipped the scales back to Obama, because remember, Romney had all the momentum in the world going into that storm. So, yeah, look, Jim Messina, who was speaking of President Obama in 2012, he was the campaign manager for Mr. Obama at that time. And he said yesterday, he said, why did Senator Warren have to do her announcement with her DNA now? He goes, why can't Democrats ever stay focused? And I think this Elizabeth Warren revelation, or lack thereof, will only hurt the party further, because I don't see how you could ever say it. And many media outlets, by the way, Sean, said that this was definitive proof, right? I'll give you literally the headlines
definitive
that were out yesterday.
Proof that she's 96% European. I mean, exactly. that 1/1024th she has, perhaps, maybe, Native American ancestry of some type. I mean, but it is, but her, she literally personally changed herself to minority status when at UPenn, and then at Harvard, she was billed as the first minority female professor there of Native American heritage. The Cherokee Nation has spoken out and said this is just outrageous. They're outraged by it.
Right, and that was the turning point, right, when they came out and said, this is wrong, this is inappropriate, this is a mockery. Then who are you going to say is attacking Elizabeth Warren? Is it still conservatives, or is it actually Cherokee Nation? But, I mean, the headlines yesterday, Associated Press, Warren DNA shows I have Native American heritage. CNN, Elizabeth Warren releases DNA test with strong evidence of Native American ancestry. ABC News, Elizabeth Warren reveals proof of Native American ancestry. Again, what proof? This so backfired on her, particularly when Cherokee Nation got involved and all the mockery that ensued from there. This is going to follow her. I know people think that she is a front runner, but the fact that she lied about her heritage to advance her career, I could see the signs already at Trump rallies in 2020 with 1/1024th just written, and that's it. Because now this defines her, and this is not something you shake very easily, and suddenly she's kind of morphed into Hillary Clinton, where you can't really trust what she says, and then on top of that, she has no real economic message outside of you didn't build that. So
yeah,
it'll be
that's
interesting
true.
To see who the Democrats settle on, right, in 2020, because I think the left wing of the party is taking over, and that's not the way you beat President Trump.
One of the things that I've been pointing out, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the Center for American Progress. That was a group formed by none other than John Podesta, but they're running their reelection. Now, very revealing that Maxine Waters says, they keep telling me not to say it. They keep saying I'm not a lot, but I'm going to keep saying it anyway, meaning impeach 45. So they're hiding their agenda. We learned that in this Project Veritas tape with Claire McCaskill, in her own words also. But now we know that they're being told directly not to talk about their immigration at all. You know, sanctuary attacks pack a punch, says the 4-page memorandum. I'm like, yeah, okay. And anyway, the New York Times obtained a copy of it. And Democrats and strategists that prepared the memo said, to Democrats, you spend as little time as possible ever talking about immigration itself. Pivot to more fruitful issues like health care and taxation. It's very difficult to win on immigration. So nobody's talking about what they really are going to do. For Democrats to win, they have to pretty much lie, misrepresent, con, be quiet about what it is they want to do, how they'll govern, and the types of agenda items they really have. That's not an enviable position to be in. I mean, for all the criticism Donald Trump takes, he's pretty authentic. He made promises and he keeps them.
That's the thing. I mean, when you look at the record, right, everybody focuses on the rhetoric of the president too much, right? You look at the results, and it's a completely different ballgame. Any president would kill to have a GDP above 4% and unemployment below 4%, right? There's something like 7.6 million job openings that was reported by CNBC today, I think, in the country. That's incredible. When you have 98% of the ISIS caliphate evaporated in Iraq and Syria, when North Korea is no longer lobbing missiles over Japan, threatening Guam and the United States, these are all very substantial victories. The trade deal he just did with Canada and Mexico. I'm not cheerleading here. I'm talking about the pillars of a presidency in terms of accomplishments. Trump is winning right now. He won with Kavanaugh as well. Even the CNN did a segment last week, John Avalon, where he says the president is on a winning streak, and the polls are showing it. He's back around 44%, 45% among registered voters. Remember that number?
Well, Rasmussen was the most accurate in 2016, has him at 51.
Right, 51%. Everything is trending upwards at the wrong time for Democrats when you go into this election, because to your point, they have no message like they had no message in 2016. I don't know what Hillary Clinton's platform was outside of "that guy's bad, vote for me so I can be the first woman president." And I would say the same about Mitt Romney in 2012. I think back, I can't remember what his platform was, but I remember Joe Biden had "Bin Laden is dead and GM is alive." Hey, that's easy to remember, and it was good enough, right?
It was
America great again, or keep America great again. If Trump could run on his record and Democrats just go with personal attacks like they have, it's going to be a long, long election. You know, you're going to hear about how Trump's in trouble like you did in 2016. But again, until they have a message in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin to win over those voters that see jobs coming back and companies coming back, unless they put up a centrist, fiery centrist candidate, they're going to have a lot of problems, Sean.
The one poll that shocks me the most, the latest one out of Wisconsin, had Scott Walker, who I think did a phenomenal job in the state of Wisconsin. And now he's always had notoriously close elections. He's always had all of these groups and millions of dollars pouring in from outside of Wisconsin that he's had to deal with. I'm not sure if the poll is accurate, but it has him down, and that surprises me. But I think especially when you look at the Senate, I could see the Republicans. Again, we're 3 weeks away. I don't have a crystal ball. I always tell everybody, play like you're behind and you're losing and you got to make up ground, and anything can happen between now and Election Day in 21 days. But, you know, I don't see Heidi Heitkamp making a recovery. I think Kristen Simona is falling apart in Arizona. I see a surge at just the right time for Dean Heller in Nevada, which will help him. I look at these other races. Donnelly now is beginning to fall back in Indiana. Marsha Blackburn is emerging in Tennessee, thank goodness. Claire McCaskill, I believe this tape is absolutely going to help defeat her. If the people of Missouri, if this is widely disseminated, because it's outrageous. And the only Democrat that might be safe at this point seems to be Joe Manchin in the Senate.
Yeah. And the Senate, in order to win that back, you had to go through this narrow path if you're a Democrat, through Arizona, red state, Texas, red state, Tennessee, red state.
And by the way, Ted Cruz is up. He's up by 8 in the latest poll. I'm actually going to be down doing a town hall with him this weekend around the Houston area. I'll give out that announcement later in the week.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, and remember, Beto O'Rourke got more money than any candidate.
Oh, my gosh, right?
$38 million, and he's touted already as a 2020 presidential candidate. You know, I think there'll probably be 20 to 25 candidates, and that's not an exaggeration because the Republicans in 18. But, yeah, that would have been a very big symbolic victory if O'Rourke somehow could have unseated Cruz, but that's going in the right direction for Cruz as well. So the Senate, you got to think they're probably going to pick up 3 or 4 seats. And now I would have told you 2 months ago, I'm like, I don't see how Democrats don't win 23 seats to win back the House, given the history. 18 of the last 20 midterms have gone against the party in power by an average of something like 33 seats. Obama lost 63 seats in 2010. So I was thinking, you know what, I can't see that not happening. Now I think it's a toss-up. It's 50-50 that the Republicans keep the House. And if that happens, after all this negative press that President Trump has received, the Republicans have received to overcome that and keep all three branches, oh my goodness.
But I will tell you, I think the fact that you've hit two things. The fact that they have no agenda is part of it. The second thing is that they're catering to a mob mentality. And we saw that in the Kavanaugh hearings, and we have seen it post-Kavanaugh hearings. And, you know, when you say, as Maxine Waters did about cabinet members and high-ranking officials in our government, you create a crowd, and you follow them into department stores and gas stations and grocery stores, and you tell them, They're not wanted here anymore. I'm like, that's the party? because that's what they're saying.
And then from a media perspective, it's funny because then you have even some anchors on CNN that are saying, you know, the people that chased Ted Cruz and his wife out of a Washington restaurant, right? They're not a mob. And you can't say the word mob. No,
you're not allowed to say the word mob. All right, stay right there. We'll continue. Joe Concha, he is the media reporter on The Hill. We'll come back. Also, the Stormy networks are a little bit quiet, except for the president's tweet. We'll get into that when we get back. 800-941-SHAWN, your calls in the final half hour of the program. We got an awesome Hannity tonight. We hope you'll join us 9 Eastern. We're going to prove our point to you with all the videotape about how bad things are and what the real agenda of the Democratic Party is if you give them back power 3 weeks from tonight. All right, as we continue, Joe Concha is with The Hill. All the coverage, Stormy. It kind of was a big deal that a California judge threw out her case and demanded that she pay legal fees for Donald Trump. But for the president tweeting about her today, I don't think anyone was willing to cover it at all.
You know, I'm trying to figure out who's having a worse month. The New York Giants, Elizabeth Warren, or Michael Kardashian. I'm sorry, Ivanotti. I always conflate those two names. I mean, that's pretty big that was thrown out, Sean, because, I mean, that's the killer, that now Stormy is actually responsible for Trump's legal fees. And by the way, every court case should be
listen,
like that.
I've always gotten Ivanotti from the beginning. I'm kind of he's a street fighter, but I think what especially he did during the Kavanaugh hearings with Julie Swetnick, I mean, was pretty outrageous because she was claiming almost on a weekend basis, you know, that Brett Kavanaugh was at these parties and they were drugging these young girls and these boys were lining up in the hall and gang raping these girls as a matter of almost a weekly thing.
Yeah, and Avenatti's, I would think, a fairly smart guy, right? And to listen to that story and say, I'm going to go to bat with this. I'm going to say that a girl who was 2-3 years removed from high school repeatedly went back to parties where gang rapes were going on. She knew they were going on, and she still kept going back. And, oh, I won't be able to actually find anybody that can corroborate the story. At least no one can independently find anybody that was listed. I think NBC was saying, yeah, we tried to find the four people that Julie Swetnick said were at those parties. One's dead, two wouldn't return our calls, and one didn't know who Julie Swetnick was. So now Democrats, who used to hail Avenatti, and the media obviously is
now they're excoriating, but also
everybody's turning on them.
But in the process, they gave up any semblance of core values that everyone believes in, and that's due process and the presumption of innocence. That's where they lost it. I got to run, but Joe Concha over at thehill.com, you want to check out his work. He's probably the only media reporter in the country that I know that is actually fair and balanced, and he goes against the grain, and thank you for a great job. Thanks so much. Quick break, right back. Your calls on the other side of Big Hannity tonight. Tell you about that in a minute, including Pastor Brunson is going to speak out his first cable interview tonight at 9, what it was like in prison in Turkey, and much more. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. People asking about what we were comparing earlier in the program, direct access to doctors, and of course, Obamacare, because it seems to be the only one issue now that Democrats want to run on. And boy, it's such a bad portrayal, inaccurate portrayal of what they have thrust upon the country. And the difference is dramatic. It's different. And anyway, we put it up on Hannity.com. You can read it for yourself. As we have a lot of articles up there that you can read. All right, as promised, we got a lot going on. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. Jimmy is in Mississippi. We'll start with you this half hour. Jimmy, hi. Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Thank you, sir. It's good talking with you.
Good talking to you. What's going on?
I feel like I know you. You've been in my living room so many times and rode around with me in the car.
Well, do you want to know the truth? You really do know me. You know, one thing I've always said is you really can't fake it for 4 hours a day. I mean, you see me on TV, you hear me on the radio. I mean, I can't just we don't write lines for this program. We just talk. And, you know, unless I guess you are a super con artist, I don't think you're capable. People can ascertain who you really are, especially that's why they call radio a warmth medium.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Look, Sean, the reason I called was I was listening on your program yesterday, and you played a clip from Hillary Clinton's speech. And in that, she mentioned the fact that the only way we're going to return to civility in this country is to elect Democrats. And when I heard it, it dawned on me, that's extortion. She's telling the American people that the only way you're going to have any peace and for us to shut up, is to elect Democrats.
That's pretty, you know, that's one way to put it, but you got to understand. Since the day Donald Trump won, the left in this country, the quote resistance in this country, now emerging into a mob in some cities in this country and confronting, you know, attorney generals like Pam Bondi or Secretary of Homeland Security Nielsen or Sarah Sanders or Ted Cruz and his wife Heidi or, you know, Mitch McConnell. And then, of course, you know, putting their anarchist symbols on the GOP headquarters in New York City, et cetera. All of this, remember, Maxine Waters said it. If you see them, get a crowd, and you confront them, and you follow them into department stores and gas stations and restaurants, and you tell them they're not wanted anywhere anymore. Okay, well, that sounds like you want something bad to happen. And the fact that the Democrats are now, the strategy is to hide who they are. Don't be honest. Lie. We see it in the Project Veritas videos. They're not telling. Maxine Waters said they keep telling me not to say it. Then you read the Center for American Progress. Don't talk about immigration because you're not going to win by telling people the truth about what you believe. It's sad that this is what it takes for them to win. It's sad that Hillary Clinton had to cheat Bernie Sanders to get the nomination and that she tried to use the phony Russian dossier and had all of her deep state friends lying to the American people with unverified, uncorroborated, Russian bought and paid for lies. This is who they are. There's nothing that they're running on that tells me, oh, if you elect us, we're going to create jobs by doing this. Well, Trump said how he'd create jobs by giving us the largest tax cut and eliminating burdensome regulation and opening up ANWR and building pipelines and saving the coal industry. Those are saving jobs. So, you know, I'm just telling everybody, 3 weeks from tonight, you're going to turn on your television set and you're going to watch the coverage and you're either going to be, you know, maybe it'll be a mixed bag. Maybe the Republicans gain a couple of seats in the Senate, win. Maybe they lose the House. You lose the House, then all you're going to see for 2 years is never-ending, nonstop, obsessive-compulsive Trump hate and investigations and possible impeachment. That's the agenda. That's it. There's nothing to improve the lives of the American people. None. So there's a lot at stake.
The Democrats rely on people on low information. They rely on propaganda and putting things out there and confusing people. That's the way it is.
Well, let me tell you what it is. They've got one playbook. They're the party of smear, slander, besmirchment, racist, sexist, misogynist, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, dirty air, water, kill children, kill grandma. It's the same playbook. It's never changed. I'm 30 years in radio. It's never gonna change. When they did get power for 8 years with Obama, you saw what they did with it. It didn't improve the lives of anybody. It left many Americans behind. The worst economy in modern times was Barack Obama's. So, you know, it's amazing that they don't want to talk about, well, the tax cuts are working. No, they want the crumbs back. You know, well, healthcare never worked out for anybody, but they want to keep it. I mean, it's just, but their focus is to hate Trump, investigate Trump nonstop. All right. Look, on the other side, I'll be blunt. You know, if 3 weeks from tomorrow I come on the air and say, well, you know, we're going to be stuck with Nancy Pelosi. You didn't get out. You didn't vote. You know, we'll survive it. We'll fight. We're not going to stop. But it would be so much better and so much easier for all of us, and especially the forgotten men and women. They're just getting a foothold now in terms of jobs and opportunities for themselves and their families. You know, and then it's going to be, you know, a battle every day, nonstop accusations, nonstop fighting. We've had that for 2 years since Trump's been president. That's supposedly coming to an end. But we'll just pick up and we'll fight back. That's what we do. You don't give up. You don't give in. You just stay on it. You know, you have to win. These political battles matter. You get the government ultimately you deserve. America deserves better than what this Democratic Party is offering. But that's going to be up to you. My vote here in New York was meaningless in this whole case. It's not going to help. I can't help you. in this election, except tell you the truth. And we're telling you the truth. And I'm saying all of these races are infinitely winnable right now. There's been a change. Democrats have overreached. They've miscalculated. And the American people are good, fair-minded people. They're figuring this out pretty quick. They watched it with Judge Kavanaugh. They see these mobs. They hear these, you know, these incitements, these marching orders, if you will, by radicals that are congressmen and women and senators. All right, let's get to Don in Detroit. Boy, John James is like the greatest candidate. He's doing better in the polls. He's down to single digits. I wish the people of Michigan could see how great this guy is. That's a long shot for us, but wow, he'd be amazing.
It is a long shot for us, Sean, and thanks for taking my call today, brother.
Yeah, but don't let them take your enthusiasm away. This man deserves a vote.
No, not at all. We're going to this will be one of my first campaign rallies for a Senate candidate in a long time. It's going to have Kid Rock there. He's going to have Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle there tomorrow night.
When is that going to be? Tomorrow night where?
Pontiac, Michigan from 6 to 9. I don't remember exactly the venue, but people can look it up at johnjamesforsenate.com.
Let me tell you something. This man is beyond impressive. He is
He's awesome.
Leader.
I was in the Army at the same time as him, and he provided air cover for me. I was a flight medic. He provided a lot of air cover for me when I was there. He's an awesome, awesome, awesome man.
Yeah. Well, I look at his background and his experience, and he just, some people just have it. Whatever it is, they have it, they own it, and I just think he's a natural leader, and I hope the people of Michigan pay attention to him.
So do I, sir. Kevin McCarthy and Paul Ryan a couple weeks ago came out, and they dangled this carrot in front of us, and they've done it every year. Every 2 years, they dangle this carrot out in front of us called border security.
Border security, and that they'll fund the entire wall.
Right, only if they win in 2018. We had a fight where we were bloodied. Whenever we attended a Trump rally, we were bloodied up. And the reason Donald Trump was elected, one of the big reasons, was because he was going to build the wall. The reason he won the election was because he said he was going to build the wall. The reason we maintained the majority in Congress for the past 8 years, and especially in 2016, was because the Republicans were finally going to fund the wall. And when Kevin McCarthy came out, who I have a lot of respect for, came out a couple of weeks ago and dangled that carrot in front of the voters' faces, I was screaming at my television saying, you've had the opportunity to present Donald Trump with no less than three spending bills, and neither of those bills did it have any appropriations for border wall. What? Why? You have had the majority in Congress for 8 years. He won an election on 2016 for building a border wall. They act like they're losers.
Listen, nobody's been more critical than me. I mean, I have used the adjectives spineless, gutless, needing a backbone. Look, at this point, it's too important. We've actually gotten a real lot done. The president, what he's done in terms of ISIS degrading and defeating them at a level nobody anticipated. North Korea, everybody thought we were headed for a real tragedy there. And, you know, with Seoul, 30 million people, their lives at risk. No more rockets are being fired over Japan. We're not dropping pallets of cash, cargo planes of cash and other currency to Iranian mullahs. And we see what's happened on the economic front, 4.2% GDP. We've watched an economy go from losing jobs to creating 4 million plus jobs at this time, 8 million fewer Americans in poverty and on food stamps. We see the pipelines are being built. Anwar has opened up. We've spent $3.5 billion on the new wall. We need the full funding. You're right, the $25 million. But we're making the progress. Two originalists on the Supreme Court, great judges on the lower courts. And I just see an America that's transforming before our eyes based on every measure, consumer confidence, everything in between. Now, yeah, I wish they would have worked faster. They would have kept their promises better. There's still a lot of work to do, but the alternative is non-existent. There's no alternative. If you vote for a Democrat, you're voting for Nancy Pelosi in the House. You vote for a Democrat for the Senate, you're voting for Chuck Schumer. That's it. If you save the House and Senate, we can get a lot done. We get these additional seats in Indiana, North Dakota, Montana. If we hold in Nevada, and we pick up with Martha McSally in Arizona. I mean, and we Claire McCaskill gets sent packing, and Rick Scott wins in Florida. It'll be amazing. Holding the House is key. Even if you don't particularly love your Republican congressman, it's not going to be an impeachment investigation vote that the Democrat is offering you. So for that reason alone, I mean, it's important to me. We'll survive it. I'm not saying we wouldn't. I'm not going to come on here the day after Election Day and whine and complain. I'm going to just dig my heels in and do what I always do after elections, and that's fight for what I believe in. But it would be so much easier if we just did it on Election Day. Anyway, I appreciate your call. Dana is in Oklahoma. Dana, hi, how are you?
Doing well, Sean. Thank you so much for taking my call, and how are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on with you?
I just listen to you all the time, and I listen to you speak the truth. I listen to the Democrats, and it's just such, it's a pity, and they are just so power hungry. It's ridiculous. They don't want the truth. They don't want honesty. They don't want one nation under God, which is they certainly don't want God. And it's just sickening. And that's just all I had to say. I just wish everyone was required to listen to you, listen to the truth.
required listening really to do. Hannity 4 hours a day. That actually might be used as a punishment for some, and you know, in jail.
Oh, they would
put Hannity on a loop.
So anyway, well, listen, I appreciate everything you're doing.
Listen, I don't have this microphone, but for you, Dana, and people around the country, I don't have a TV camera in front of me every night, but for you, I'm just telling everybody we can win. I am saying it is within the realm of possibilities that we could win and shock the world again. But it's going to take every effort of every single person hearing my voice now and then some. And that means you getting others engaged to vote and explaining what the consequences are. All right, got to take a break here. We'll come back. Hannity, we got a big show tonight at 9 on the Fox News Channel. All right, busy night on Hannity tonight. We'll have the latest on, yes, Pocahontas, and that would be Elizabeth Warren's lie. The Democrats are lying to you. We've got new tape we will show you tonight. Pastor Brunson just released from Turkey. Laura Trump, Larry Elder, Jason Chaffetz, Sarah Carter, Steve Ducey, Dan Bongino, and Dr. Gorka. That's 9 Eastern tonight. Set your DVR. Big monologue tonight with new tape. You don't want to miss it. Hannity, Fox News. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow.